ever feel like you're being played like a street hustle?
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. Do
the hustle! The truth is, I have a lot that I want to share on this Monday edition of Truth to Ponder. I mean, a lot of very important news I think you need to have and you need to hear. But I want to begin the program today with something that I've thought about several times over the past, three or four months in particular, and even more so in recent weeks. Don't know why I'm noticing it more. Maybe you have as well. How many of you are in the same place that I'm in every day when you check your email, if you do email? And there's a reason I say this. I have multiple email accounts because of my ministry work, this radio program, and of course, a personal email account. Over the years, I have given out one of those addresses in particular for any kind of place that I'm not certain if I'm going to be inundated or not. And it doesn't matter if it's a good cause or a questionable cause. I understand marketing. I was in it for years. I worked in radio broadcasting, owned a radio station at one point in my life. Not a big one, but I understand advertising. I understand the importance. I understand media. I get it. I understand fundraising because I've worked in ministry. But the one thing I never did, and the one thing I don't do on this program, believe me on this, I go out of my way. I'm going out of my way to make sure that I don't use over-the-top headlines or over-the-top fear to get people to contribute or support the things that I'm doing. I believe that whatever it is that I'm doing that I ask you to help me with should totally stand on its own. Does that make any sense? I have watched over the past 4 years in particular what I call the Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer boogeyman syndrome. Now, you know, probably if you've listened to this program, I am no fan of either one of them. I think they're both reprobate derelicts that have no business being in public life. I think they're destructive, they're divisive, and they're untruthful. And they're both unfit to serve in the capacities that they serve in the House and the Senate. That just goes without saying. I mean, it really does go without saying. There is no health or life or honesty or decency in either Chuck Schumer or Nancy Pelosi. They are opportunist politicians and have been paid very well to gain their elite status because of it. But they become the perfect boogeyman for fundraisers. Not a day goes by that I don't get an email from some organization that I must have given an email address to or somebody sold my address to saying, we need your money because we have to stop Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. Duh, of course we do. You can help me in my campaign to take back the House. Well, you shouldn't have lost it in the first place. So here are my issues. I'm beginning to believe, well, I'm not beginning. I do believe, and I have for a long time. I have become distrustful of the political class. Now, there really are some good people, quote, that are in politics that are running for office. I can think of several that I know that don't fit the typical mold of the typical politician, and they don't do the fear-mongering. They're not the opportunist. They're the rare breed we have lost sight of over the decades here in the United States. You know, the politician that actually cares about doing something right. If you don't believe me, I'm going to just share with you from my heart. And your politics may be different. And that's all right, but let me just kind of explain where I come from in my lifetime. I've always been abnormally, for my generation, a little bit more politically aware. Don't ask why. Probably my upbringing, my personal interest doesn't make any difference. I was relatively politically aware. And I would say that when I was in, like middle school, seventh or eighth grade, I was probably rather, for lack of a better word, agnostic. I really didn't care. I could tell you who the president was, the vice president. I could tell you who my governor was in the state of New York. Pretty easy. He was there for like an eternity, Nelson Rockefeller. And I kind of understood the so-called differences between the two major parties. As I got into high school, and we still have a little thing called the Vietnam War hanging over the heads of many of us as when we began high school, you start paying a little bit more attention. And I started. I really did. And there were several things that I had come to conclude, and I'm not bragging on myself. I'm certain that these values were instilled into me. Are you following? They were instilled into me. There's a difference between right and wrong. There's no such thing as a free lunch. I mean, whenever you get a free lunch, there's always a string attached. I don't care, unless it's, you know, family and friends or something a little different. But I'm saying, for the most part, there is no such thing as a free lunch. And so early on, I started thinking, you know, maybe the idea of a big federal government is not a good idea. And I don't know where that came from, but as I started out my life, I became a believer before I was the age of 18 that the Constitution had it right. Whatever is not enumerated in the Constitution for the federal government to do, well, they shouldn't do it. Period. End of discussion. Are you following? But our federal government has jumped into hundreds of arenas that they have absolutely no business participating within. I'm just telling you. And by the time I was eligible to vote, I voted in 1972. And a lot of people that I knew, were supporting Eugene McGovern. And the reason they did was because they saw some free money. If you don't remember, he was saying that he wanted to give every man, woman, and child or something as ridiculous as that $1,000. Now, $1,000 back in 1972 would be like getting $6,000 or $7,000 today. That might get your interest. And I thought about it. It sounded tempting when I went to vote, and I voted in Ohio at that time. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, wow, $1,000. What's the string? What's the catch? And I'm thinking to myself, there's an end game that I may not want to participate within. I'm busy studying for learning electronics to learn the technical side of broadcast. I have a job. I have a place to live. I am definitely not wealthy by any stretch of the imagination. I'm squeaking by counting change in a sofa. But I was also 18 and on my own, paying my own way. And my thought was, gee, if I get this $1,000, I've already seen that they take money from my paycheck. Will they start taking more money to pay back that $1,000? And so I voted for Richard Nixon. I really did, 1972. Now, granted, Richard Nixon's failure had to do with covering up something he didn't even start. And I believe that eventually the truth will find you out in a lot of things. And it happened. It happened back then. But when I look at, as I started my married life by 1976, as I'm married and getting on in life, I'm watching my politics getting even more and more conservative because I was a homeowner. And I saw a little thing like county and city property tax. I began to understand sales tax and all these other things that if you're just renting an apartment, sometimes you don't connect the dots when you're young. But when you see the bill, you do. Gee, I bought a house. My house payment was principal and interest was this. But then you had to have an escrow account for taxes and insurance. And you begin to recognize you really never own your own home. And so my values became increasingly more fiscally conservative. And because I'm a person of faith, over the years, my spiritual values also became increasingly more biblical. And I think a lot of that reflects in who I am today. So what I'm saying is when I start seeing all these emails, we must stop Nancy Pelosi. Well, of course we do. But there's always the fundraiser attached. There's always a gimmick. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Biden are going to destroy the economy. Buy gold today from this place. Get in on the silver market. Here's something that Jeff Bezos buying. You need to know about it too. I am getting sick of being hustled. Being nothing but a commodity with a wallet and a checkbook and a credit card. From all sides. I'm getting sick and tired of it. So many conservatives get played for fools and don't even realize it. And I hate to say it. We are pushed around like cattle. Now we're herded over here, herded over there. Oh, look at this. Look at that. So let's look at the history of the Republican Party that I voted for in 1972 up until this past election and even till today. I hear all these great things about conservatism and all the great things we can do. So, who ran for president in 1976? Well, Gerald Ford, nice enough guy, but still very establishment when you think about it. That's how Jimmy Carter got in. Then we got Ronald Reagan. Now, that's a different story. Ronald Reagan was, shall we say, an interrupter. The powers that really run our government, beneath the surface, that don't want to be seen, did not like him. The media did not like him. A lot of the world did not like him. I liked him. And I voted for him twice. The American people voted for him twice, though the establishment did not like him. 1988. The compromise vice presidential pick of Ronald Reagan ascends to become the president in the 1988 election. George H. Herbert Walker Bush, Bush the senior, Bush 41, whatever you want to call him. And, you know, outside of the Gulf War, he really never caught my attention because, see, certain moral issues were becoming of age and he didn't want to get in the fray. I remember a mayor in the state of Georgia about 45 years ago, and I'm sure he's long since passed away. His name is Lucius Ailewine. Nice southern gentleman, used to wear those kind of aviator glasses, and he lived in a small town in a small county. And I kind of liked the guy. He actually was a very likable person. And he had been mayor of this little town for a number of years. He'd been on the city commission for a number of years. And I asked him, you know, one time in a news interview, I said, so Mayor Edelwein, how is it that you have done so well in this community? And he goes, it's very simple, Bob. He goes, if half the people are for something and half the people are against it, I always do what the people want. He was a master politician. He could make you believe whatever it is you wanted to believe, and he was on board with you even if he wasn't. And I think that is the curse of politics in this age. Politicians in Washington, most of them have been there way too long. I have been a proponent since the 1980s of both the line item veto, and I've also been a proponent of very strict term limits. The founders of this country never believed or never anticipated a ruling class living in the District of Criminals to destroy our lives and take our money and just screw things up, which is what they do. And they do it on both sides. It's all compromise, the smoke-filled room syndrome. We've all heard about that. So spare me your email, please, and get this free book. We've got to stop them. Like I say, let's go back and look at what we had to vote for. 1992, we had a choice between Bill Clinton, a supposed blue dog, conservative kind of Democrat from Arkansas, against George Bush, read my lips, no new taxes, but you're going to get them anyway. Well, obviously, that didn't work out well for Bush the elder. So let's go to the next couple of elections. What do we get in 1996? Bob Dole and Kemp from New York. Two of the most establishment Republicans I can think of outside of John McCain. Opportunist deluxe. And they're running around as the conservatives in 1996, and they just fizzled out as a bunch of old duffers that didn't know what they were doing, trying to act like they're young and cool, and they made fools of themselves, in my opinion. Now, of course, I voted for them. What choice did I have? I can remember heading toward the 2000 election. There were a lot of people out there that I thought were a lot better than what we got. I mean, truthfully. And I remember looking at a Time magazine somewhere in late 99, early 2000. I was already in Florida. And I was at a doctor's office with my wife, and there's a Time magazine. I can't tell you the date. And on the front cover, there's kind of a caricature cartoon of, you know, George Bush the Jr., you know, the younger. And he's dressed like a king. He's got this, you know, big robe on, and it's, you know, it's a cartoon. And he's got a big, and you've got all these people putting a crown on his head. Maybe you saw it. And the title was The Heir Apparent. And I'm going, heir apparent to what? He's the governor of Texas. And if it wasn't for his daddy's famous name, you know, who'd care? And I'm looking at the establishment rallied around this guy. You can look back now. Your hindsight vision is really good in that rearview mirror. And sure enough, even though it was a squeaker because of Florida's voting issues at the time, he became the president. And then we get to 2008. And what did the establishment give us now? Oh, John McCain. John McCain. The gift the Democrats couldn't have envisioned anything better for their win in 08. Sometimes I wonder if it's predetermined who's going to win, and I think maybe in 2016, the predetermined winner was supposedly Hillary Clinton, and I think Trump the disruptor messed up those plans, and that's why the viciousness. So I look at the Republican Party that I have pretty been faithful to over these, oh, I don't know, pushing 50 years next year. And in 50 years, you gave me what? Two candidates that were halfway decent. The rest were establishment, you know, cronies. And let's go back to 2018. Let's go back to 2017, the beginning of the Trump years. You've got Paul Ryan, an establishment Republican in the House. Things that could have been done, never got done. The House, the Republican House and Senate were dismal, absolute, unmitigated failures. No wonder Republicans got so sick of them and the Democrats won. People were disgusted. We haven't had, in my lifetime, a majority of people that really cared about the United States. They care about their power, their reelection, their future consulting jobs and lobbying jobs. They don't care about you. So I'm tired of the hustle. I'm tired of the scamming. I'm tired of the headlines. I'm tired of the fundraisers. I'm tired of all the talk. For once in my 66 years, I want to see some definitive action. Because all that's going to happen is you're going to have a handful of renegades, as they are labeled, that are trying to do something. And the establishment, sadly, that includes McCarthy in the House and others, in my opinion. We need to clean house. We need term limits. We need to repeal the 17th Amendment. And if you don't know what the 17th Amendment is, I'll tell you. Up until the time of Woodrow Wilson, from the time of the founding of this nation until the early part of the 20th century, senators to the United States Senate were appointed by their state legislatures, period. And there was a reason they were appointed. That was to guarantee that the states, your state, my state, if you live in the United States, had a very powerful voice to control the ever-expanding or the desire to expand federal government. Your two senators from a state like Illinois, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, South Carolina, wherever, they were the buffer zone between what the federal government could do to you and what they could do to damage the power of the states. That was well designed by the founding fathers. But no, now it's a direct election, and these people get in there for 6 long years. And after 5 years, they start talking like, we're going to really do something this time. Vote for me. I find people like, you know, some are going to get mad when I say this, but look at what a disappointment over the years Lindsey Graham has been in South Carolina. Phony conservative. Until he figures out which way the wind is blowing and he rides it into re-election. I am done with the establishment. You need to be done with the establishment. The establishment is not going to ever change things. I've made it clear, and this is from my faith side. This is from understanding what the Bible says about human nature and the future of mankind. Listen to me carefully. We're never going to fix the sins and ills of this nation at the ballot box for two reasons. Number one, I don't think it's scriptural. Number two, the phony conservatives that end up running deceive you, get into office, and whatever really changes? Not much. Until you get an interrupter like a President Trump. I believe that as many establishment Republicans as Democrats wanted to see him gone. They have made up more manure. I'm being polite. They have said more untruthful things. Listen, I'm the first to tell you that Donald Trump may not be the most moral man in the world. That's not, I get these what I call straw man arguments.
Well, you know, Trump, he's been married a few times and he's not the most moral person. And you ever see the tweets that he sends out?
I really don't care. Here's what I do care about. And listen to me as carefully as you can. Policy. Policy is what I care about. The Bible talks about people that are, you know, cads, so to speak, terrible people, but they're effective in what they do. And they're actually complimented. So I'm not voting for the head pastor of my church or the leader for my church denomination or to be a missionary or something. I am voting for somebody with the common sense that God gave seafood to do what is right for our nation and to have policies that do the following. Number one, policies that do not infringe on our rights as Christians, that we are not negatively impacted. Our churches are left alone by government. They have not been for a long time, and with the pandemic, it became over-the-top insane. I want policies that do not damage the family, break them apart, cause more division, destroy the nuclear family. Policies the Democrats have had since the Great Society of Lyndon Johnson have destroyed the family, have given us increased crime, increased poverty, increased drug use, increased all manner of negative things in our society. I think it is absolutely safe to say, that most people in politics today, regardless of their political persuasion, once they are in D.C., they become more a part of the problem, not a solution. One little quick story before we have to go to the break, and then I want to totally change gears on some other things that I'm reading, a couple of stories that I want to share that you really need to hear. Way back in the 1990s, sounds like a million years ago now, doesn't it? I was working for Toccoa Falls College, and we had an application to build a non-commercial FM in South Carolina, and it got into what they call a mutually exclusive situation with a competing application, which meant there was going to be a comparative hearing on the two applications. Now, we had done some research on ours, and I determined very quickly that some of the claims being made by the other party were simply not true and that they had committed perjury. And so I had to go up to Washington, D.C. for a few days for a potential hearing and some depositions. I was the guy trying to get this application pushed through. And our law firm in D.C. was one of those K Street or M Street, I can't remember which street, law firms. And so when I flew up there, they had a limousine pick me up and take me to Crystal City into one of these super fine hotels. I mean, really, really nice hotel. And it dawned on me as I'm staying in this, you know, marvelous hotel and this wonderful restaurant, and I've got their people coming in and making sure I'm eating the finest of food. I'm sure the college ended up paying for it, I'm sure, but I understood for the first time that anybody, no matter what you think you are, could possibly become tempted into being the limousine liberal. And I think that's what happens in D.C. People get these jobs in government that pay well with great benefits and you can't get fired. And of course, they want to keep their little dynasty going. This is the problem. Interrupters like Trump threatened that little club in D.C., threatened some of the clubs in some states. That's why I believe that Raffensperger, the Secretary of State in Georgia, and Governor Kemp are worthless. They're part of the problem. They both need to go as soon as possible. I wish they would resign and not put us through another election in the state of Georgia. Stop falling for the hustle. Begin to look at what you're being asked to do and look over the last 25 years and say, so what have you really done except make a lot of speeches, make a lot of noise, be on Fox News or Newsmax or whatever. You talk a good game, but where are the results? Well, the results are not coming. Because, see, then they lose their power base. Listen, it's politics in this country, in the United States. We try to believe that we're the land of the free, the home of the brave, and decency, and integrity. Look, we just had a fraudulent election. That's how bad the establishment wanted to get rid of Trump. They stole it. And if you don't believe they stole it, I've got some property, oceanfront property for sale in Maricopa County. Right now, I need to take a break. Did any of what I just said make sense? I'm just getting tired of being hustled and pushed and whatever. I'm not going to fall lockstep anymore for a party. We've got to look at the individual, what they really believe, their history. And we've got to get term limits. I don't know how we're going to do it. But if we don't, we will never survive.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
The most universal word, Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. Do you know what the most universal word in the world is? The word most used in all the world, throughout the nations, throughout the different tongues of man? What's the most used word in the world? Guess. Is it ma or mama? That's pretty good. That's number two. But the number one most universal word, according to many linguistic experts, is the word amen. Now, in the South, you'll hear it as amen. In Orthodox synagogues, you'll hear it as omen. It's a Hebrew word, amen. Amen is our yes to God. That's what it means. It literally means yes, yes, I agree. Yes, it's so yes, with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, yes. So the most universal word is amen. The Hebrew yes. And there's a reason for that. You see, the most universal word in your life must also be amen. Because the greatest thing you can ever say is yes to God, yes to his promises, yes to his word, yes to his love, yes to his hope, yes to his wonders, yes to his righteousness, yes to his will, yes to his purpose and his call in your life. Amen is the most universal word because yes needs to be your most universal word to God. Your yes to God can't be conditional or particular. It's got to be universal. Your yes to God can't only be in one area. It has to be in every area. Your yes to God has to be universal in everything. And what does he ask of you? A simple, unconditional, universal yes. You see, his blessings are too good for you to say no or maybe or later. Give him your unconditional yes today and you'll find your life unconditionally blessed because amen must be universal. Amen? Amen. Well, more ask for amen. Now, how often do you get offered something to you, priceless, wonderful, life-changing, and free? Here goes right now. Sapphires. It's as precious as it sounds, guaranteed to help give you a life and walk of joy and victory. And the incredible mystery of the temple doors, you'll love it. It's priceless and it's free. How do you get it? Easy. Just remember Jesus' real Hebrew name, Yeshua, and dial it. That's it. Just dial 1-800-YESHUA-1. You'll be so blessed, but call now. 1-800-YESHUA-1. I invite you to join me in bringing salvation back to God's ancient nation, Israel, and all the unreached peoples on five continents with over a billion people. Just call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or write me direct, The Nice Jewish Boy, at Box 1111, Lodi, LODI, New Jersey. The zip 07644. It's The Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, LODI, New Jersey, 07644. Until next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying Shalom Aleichem. Peace be to you, my friend, and Messiah, Or HaOlam, the light of the world.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome back to part two of our Monday edition of Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. You know, I didn't plan on talking that long about the hustle of politics like I did. Maybe you found it refreshing. I don't know. Maybe you disagree. You're welcome to do that and let me know. Maybe I said something wrong. And if I am, I'm more than happy to admit it. But I just have a strong feeling that we have embedded a political class, and they're on both sides of the spectrum. And that's what I find frightening. Who do you trust? Who can you trust? Bible says, do not put your trust in princes or the sons of men. And I think too many of us do that today. We try to fix our nation by fixing our politics, by voting the right people. And we've been doing this in my lifetime for, oh, I don't know, be 50 years next year that I started voting. And what have I gotten for my vote? Yeah, not much. Overall, only a few times did I get a real leader. Otherwise, it was just, you know, trying to get by in this life. Before I get to my next topic, I want to thank those of you that listen and support this radio ministry. It is truly a ministry. We are looking to obtain this summer more shortwave airtime. I have made it very clear over the months of doing this program that shortwave radio, I believe, is going to be the primary delivery mechanism for this program, and I'm looking to expand that a little bit this summer. I also believe it's a secondary way of reaching people, especially those that do not have the internet, perhaps free-to-air satellites. Still waiting for some feedback. We're negotiating. I'd love to have this channel where I could give to you Christian music you can't find anywhere else anymore. At least it's getting harder to find. This program and maybe even a two or three others that would like to be a part of this project. It's not going to be free. It's going to cost me money to do it. But for those that have the satellite dish on Galaxy 19, it's free. It's KU band. The dish is about 3 foot. I think you can get systems actually for around $200 and there's no monthly fee. In other words, you own your HDMI capable receiver. Even has the old style RCA plugs for those that know what I'm talking about. Little dish receiver, not hard to aim. And you can get a number of Christian TV and radio channels off that dish. As this progresses over the next several days, hopefully, I will share more with you. Now, today's a holiday, of course. It is Memorial Day in the United States, so I doubt if I'll be hearing anything today before this program ends. But I want to thank you for supporting Truth to Ponder. And I'm trying to find different ways of growing the program. While it is out there in a podcast, and by the way, I was delightfully surprised. I kind of had my doubts, but I was delightfully surprised, at least for now, that if you have the Edify app for Christian podcast, that's Edify app, if you happen to use phones and stuff for podcast, you can find Truth to Ponder now on Edify. Now, it seems to show up to them a little bit later in the afternoon than it does at the primary site that I'm placing it. So it's a few hours late. But in the afternoon, about 3, 4 Eastern time, it generally is there ready to play on Edify. So we thank the Lord that we have that door now open too. I'm surprised how many listen as an Apple podcast. They do, which is wonderful. While it's still there. I believe the tech tyrants are flexing their muscle, and depending on how things go over the next year, they're either going to try to get even worse, or they may get a little bit frightened because of some of the things some states are doing. Once again, don't look for the politicians to repair the United States and bring us to some glory days and everybody going to church and being moral and crime disappears. It's not going to happen. There are still reprobate minds in politics, not just at the national level, but in the state level as well, and the city levels. Good example. Right down the road from where we have a home in northeast Georgia, about 100 miles or, a couple of hours north of Atlanta. We never go to Atlanta. We avoid it like any opportunity we get to go around it, we do. We never go through it. I worked there decades ago, and I'm glad I don't any longer. Not far south of us, Atlanta, an Atlanta City councilman who wants to be the next mayor of Atlanta. Antonio Brown is his name. And I saw this story. You may have read this or you may have seen it elsewhere, but if you didn't, I get a kick out of this. Antonio Brown was attending a ribbon-cutting ceremony and an event back on last Wednesday. Around noon. We're talking around noon in Atlanta. Broad daylight, and his car gets stolen. Four kids jumped into the car and stole his car. Now, Atlanta's been going through a crime wave like many other cities are. Brown had jumped into the mayor's race, a few weeks ago. And he's, you ready for this? He's running on a campaign of re-imaging public safety. And as a councilman, he voted to withhold $73 million from the budget of the Atlanta Police Department. Brown said thieves jumped into his vehicle Wednesday after he got out to speak with community leader Ben Norman. And he noted, now ready for this, his white Mercedes-Benz has a keyless push to start ignition, and he failed to realize it had been started. Well, I got questions about that, but whatever. And the kids are like between the ages of 6 and 12. Now, listen to that carefully. The kids are between the ages of 6 and 12. One kid was in the driver's seat, and Brown attempted to open the door to get him out. He fought with Ben. He tried to get him out of the car. The other three kids were trying to figure out how to get in the car, stay out of the car. He started to hit on the gas. Brown added that he held onto his white Mercedes-Benz in an attempt to stop him and was dragged about a block down the road before he let go. Huh? I mean, and here's the worst part. He doesn't even plan to file charges against the kids who, he said, acted out of desperation. No, they did not act out. There's no desperation. Stop it, stop it, stop it, you syphilis-brained idiot. What is wrong with you? You are what is wrong with this country today. This is why Atlanta is becoming a big city Democrat sewer, because of fools like you riding around in your Mercedes-Benz talking about poverty. It's the policies of your party that has broken up the home, that has destroyed the schools and turned them into indoctrination centers, that has pushed God out of our society. You, my friend, are the reason those kids stole your car. And what in God's name are those kids doing at 12:30 on a Wednesday afternoon? Aren't they in school? Aren't they supposed to be in school? I'm telling you, by the way, Brown is under an indictment on federal charges related to incidents that occurred in the years prior to him winning the council seat that he has in 2019. I am sick and tired of these politicians. Critical race theory nonsense. Oh, I can't charge these kids for... Yes, you can, and you need to, and you need to hold their parents accountable, unless it was your policies that have a single parent home with a mother with no husband. I'd be curious to know the backstory on all of this. Yeah, we're going to fix this at the ballot box. This started in 1965. 1965. And you know something? It's kind of hard after 56, 57 years, over a half century, to go back and undo the damage that has been done by the Democrats and their family-destructive, baby-killing policies. I'm telling you, these cities that are defunding the police, critical race theory, there is a, I don't get it. I just don't understand it. This guy wants to defund the police, not charge those that was trying to steal his white Mercedes-Benz. Yeah, he identifies with the impoverished, doesn't he? Do you understand? We're not going to fix it at the ballot box. Number one, the city of Atlanta now is a Democrat stronghold. We saw it in the stolen election. Fulton County is nothing but a sewer. Listen, I remember Atlanta from the 1970s and early 1980s. Big city. The city itself had more than its share of problems, but the whole region now is turning like too many other metropolitan areas. They become highly Democrat, very expensive, and the crime just goes up. And the morals go down. And it's sad. I don't see that being repaired at the ballot box. If you do, you really need to change. The only way this world will ever change is when you change one person at a time. You can't change it at the ballot box. We're done. I pray for the remaining, shall we say, free states, conservative states, that those that are trying to flee New York and New Jersey because they've screwed it up there don't take their bad voting habits and screw some other place up royally. You know, today I never really thought I'd be getting this much into politics. Maybe I didn't want to. I just wanted to make mention of a couple of things. And this particular story just highlights the insanity that we now have in our government. I want to share one other story here, and I'll probably get into this more tomorrow. One of my jobs, and my wife and I were talking about it the other day, is in order to do this program, the amount of reading that I have to do. And, you know, doing the program, that's the least amount of my time to sit down with the microphone. A one-hour program with editing and assembling and sending it out, distributing it where it needs to go, takes a few hours per program. And honestly, I need to be getting ahead by several days because of some travel coming up, and I can't record when we're on the road. So I'm trying to get a couple of days ahead, and I hope you don't mind me doing that. But then I spend a lot of time watching news, which can be depressing, reading stories that are depressing, and trying to make heads and tails out of it for you, to help you. Ran into a story that I found really concerning. And over the months, I have found stories and places that I go to that have been extremely accurate. That's the best way to put it. Extremely accurate. They make statements that the mainstream media condemns, Facebook says is a lie, and then 6 months later, 8 months later, they're having to walk it back because it turns out to be true. Just like we talked on this radio program last year that the virus came from gain-of-function research out of a lab in Wuhan, and anytime I ever mentioned that, Facebook shut that conversation down. Oh, no, it's been debunked. Debunked by who? The who? Give me a break. But there's a story that's coming out, and this comes from a source that I look at, you know, from time to time, and they seem to get a lot of this stuff right. And we're seeing that COVID cases now, and we need to get a few numbers done. I don't want to get too deep into the weeds on this today. We'll do it. I'm going to share some of this quickly tomorrow. But it's amazing, certain cases have risen in every country where that's had a mass vaccination campaign. And it appears that at least in the short term, it sometimes makes it worse, and I don't get it. Cambodia didn't have a single coronavirus death until they started giving the vaccine in March. There's something going on. And we also know, and we talked about this, and you're probably beginning to hear about it now. We talked about it in January, that when Joe Biden was inaugurated president, there was a subtle change made in the way we counted COVID cases. The cycle threshold for the PCR test was lowered to a realistic level to knock off or reduce the false positives that were inflating the numbers. Now, we all know that the death numbers were inflated. I don't care if you died in a motorcycle accident, if you had tested positive in months before, you were a COVID death. You could assume COVID death without ever testing. So some people think the inflation could be as high as 90%. So maybe, and I know people do die of this. I mean, people die of the flu. They die of heart attacks. And I think there are those that are now dying of the vaccine. We're going to be talking about that maybe tomorrow. I keep reading and I keep seeing numbers that I'm finding frightening. I have chosen for myself not to take the vaccine. You're not going to bribe me with a lottery ticket to take a vaccine that I do not believe the manufacturers fully understand its long-term ramifications. And I'm trying to sift through the many stories to make sure I'm giving you accurate information that can be, you know, duplicated, in other words. There are a lot of people out there, and it's so easy to be deceived. People have, you know, they're saying all kind of things, and they suddenly say the vaccine is this, it has that, it has the other. I don't need to go to the unproven. I can just look at logic and common sense to tell me I don't want to take this. And I don't think you should. Maybe you have, but I really don't think. I don't think the vaccine is a good idea. And I think time will tell if this vaccine was a worldwide mistake or was it part of a worldwide plan. Yeah, there's part of me that thinks it could very well be. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. I'm looking at some numbers. And look, there's plenty of reasons to doubt all the manufacturers' reassurances and Facebook's claims. It's safe and effective. And even conservative groups, you know, are falling for it. Thankfully, not as fast as, shall we say, leftist groups. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. I don't want to get into it today. I was mentioning at the bottom of the hour the satellite project, and I want to just take a moment. Like I say, Christian radio today to me is a wasteland in many places because the music doesn't say anything. It's all about me, 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 instead of about Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And that's why I want to develop this channel, and I need you to let me know if you think it's a good idea. But if the channel launches, you may be hearing music like this.
There's no other friend so kind as He. Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me, and he led me in the
What a wonderful old song from many years back. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Very different words and lyrics from songs from many years ago. Now, there's some new songs I do like, don't get me wrong. But I'm saying the good ones, the ones with a message, are becoming fewer and farther between. We'll talk more about that on tomorrow's broadcast. Tomorrow's broadcast, I've got some other news stories that I want to really share with you that I think are vitally important for you to have and to know. We'll tell you about the satellite ministry, too, as we get closer. Do you believe in the work that we're doing here? It depends on your help to keep it going. If you can help us out financially to pay for the broadcast airtime, and maybe even help if we decide to launch satellite, which is becoming increasingly possible, let me know. Our mailing address is 21 Berkshire, B-E-R-K-S-H-I-R-E, 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263 in Sky Valley. Two words, Sky Valley, Georgia, 30537. You can email me directly, by the way, bob@truth2ponder.com. Nobody sees those messages but me, those emails. So if you can help us out financially, please do. And we are beginning a new month, and praise God, the bill is paid and on its way. So we're sneaking into the next month. We'd like to get to the next level. So keep us in prayer. And if you can help us, may God bless you, and I thank you very much.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.